Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we talk about some movies we really didn't like, we give our first impressions on some of the new TV shows, and Shane agrees to a pay cut to renew himself for two more seasons.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Everybody, welcome back to the Scope program.
Or the program now.
You know that it's the Scope when you hear those slow, sexy beats.
Yeah, not sure how we just landed on that as intro music, but hey, I think it works. Ramping, I like the contrast.
It's going to be a lean and mean show. Literally, 12 hours before the show was about to go on, we get an email from Adam saying that he may have strep throat.
He's what you call a late scratch. He's a late scratch. Not a healthy scratch, but a late scratch.
His throat, however, is scratching, and it probably doesn't feel very good. I'm happy to not have
I think
have
he's
him.
Holding on for a new contract.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I have to do a pay cut, Jared, I think I'm going to have to pay you money for the next two seasons.
Not true. I mean, we do have a little bit of small bits of income coming in via our Amazon affiliate
little
link.
A little bit here and there. Keeps the lights on, as they say.
Keeps the lights on. Doesn't keep the air conditioning on because that shit's expensive.
It is.
Oh, I had to break down last night. I was miserable. I couldn't sleep. So I finally had to turn on the air conditioning. We've been going through a little bit of a heat wave here.
Global warming's a farce, but yet we've had like five straight days of 80s in October, which is unheard of here in Minnesota.
Yeah. And it's not, the humidity isn't bad, so the temperatures are unbearable. But my house just, in the evening, it just holds heat.
Comfortably warm.
So when it comes to bedtime, it's like a freaking sauna in my bedroom, and it's like last night at like 1 a.m., I'm like, I gotta turn the air conditioning
last
on.
Last night at 1 a.m., it was still 75 degrees outside.
Yeah, well, so we've got these winds coming directly out of the south, bringing all of the
Texas heat.
Yes, and the smell of cracklins. I think
cracklins in the air.
Yeah, that's a southern thing, right?
I love it. A little deep-fried pork fat. And maybe some collard greens as well.
I think it's the skin. The cracklin is the skin. Yeah. Just fry it up and eat it.
Right on top.
Yeah.
Mm, delish.
Why not?
Delish. So we've got a few things to cover in this introductory block we like to call the A block of our show. So let's get right to it. The first would be a discussion on sports.
Sports. I'm not even going to break out the music.
No, you don't
it
need...
Doesn't, our
don't
team need doesn't worth, isn't
the,
worth it.
The goal... Adam was supposed to be here, and we were going to talk about Adam's rantings on Facebook about how he loves that his favorite team, the Washington Redskins, are three and one?
Yeah, they're leading the division.
They're leading their division at 3-1, and it makes it all the sweeter for him that the Minnesota Vikings, the team that we often talk about on this program, they are a terrific 0-4.
0-4, Shane.
Who knows? Maybe they're an 0-16 team. You never know.
I don't think that. I actually think they're going to get their first win this week. But
well, we'll see.
If not.
Then it's trouble.
Yeah.
Then it's trouble. But
then you start talking blackouts and the volume on the call for the rookie quarterback to start begins in earnest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if the Vikings lose against the Arizona Cardinals, I think that it will be a fever pitch to put in the young kid and let him get worked over. But in general, Minnesota has not fared very well in the sporting arena about the past year. The Minnesota Wild, terrible. Minnesota Twins,
hockey.
One of the worst seasons ever after winning the division, right?
What do you blame that on? Was that injuries and just lack of play? Or?
It's definitely an injury issue.
Because some of their key guys were just hobbled with injuries all season.
Yeah.
So.
They dug themselves such a deep hole early that they couldn't get out. And once that happens, you're not going to make a run for the playoffs.
You know what I do in Minecraft when I dig myself a big hole? I just throw some ladders up on the wall and climb right out.
Well, I think that you need to give the Minnesota Twins some ladder Minecraft tips, and maybe they can apply that to their season next year.
Right.
It was funny. I went to my first Minnesota Twins game, which for everyone that we're totally killing our audience, but we have a new stadium. It's the second year, and I'd never been there. We spent more time just walking around the stadium rather than watching the game. I mean, it just wasn't of interest. I mean, the sight and the architecture was far more appealing than watching the Twins.
And that was this season?
Yeah, this season.
Okay. See, I went to a game last season, and they actually won the game.
That'd be pretty exciting.
I watched the game for the most part.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So, Twins are doing terribly. Our college football team. I put that in parentheses.
They are technically a college. In fact, a university, Shane. It's a collection of colleges.
They got a new coach, Jerry Kill.
Yes.
But he's not killing the competition.
No.
We're getting killed. Once again, football in the college arena shouldn't really surprise us as being terrible because it's been that way for a while.
They seem, and I don't pay attention, so maybe I have no frame of reference for this, but they seem particularly bad this year.
Yeah, they do.
Getting blown out like 58 to nothing, mm-hmm. and you know, like you said just before the show, giving up a big bunch of points to the opponent. I guess a team that they could very well beat, but they're just not doing it.
No. So that leaves us with one team.
Yeah.
Jared.
Yes.
Your favorite sport of all time, female basketball.
We got to go to the ladies to find a little bright spot in Minnesota local sports.
This year, our Minnesota Lynx world champions.
Yes.
In the WNBA.
Listen to the crowd. Finn.
Full disclosure.
Listen to the crowd.
Full disclosure. I wish I cared.
I
think it's great.
I've never watched a game.
No,
I didn't. I wasn't a bandwagon guy. Were the games? I'm assuming they were on.
They're probably ESPN
television
two.
Somewhere.
ESPN 2
around here. Yeah.
ESPN 2, the Deuce, as they call it.
It is a little sad when the championship series of the Professional Women's National Basketball Association doesn't even merit ESPN 1, much less a network slot.
I know. It's a bit strange.
I'm happy for him, and I think you could have gone to the box office on the day of the game and bought tickets.
Absolutely, you could have.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yes, for a championship run. It's interesting because that is our first championship since 1991, when the Minnesota Twins won for the second time. So it's been a drought of 20 years.
That's amazing.
And
we had the Wild teased for a little bit there.
Wild, like Vikings,
they
were gonna make a Vikings, run.
Vikings
twice
had
in that time
made
period.
It
could
to
have
a couple of championship games. Yeah.
Twins.
Twins, at least got, in the postseason.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Got killed by the Yankees almost every year. So
yeah.
Pretty sad. So hopefully, maybe with the new hockey season starting. By the way, we haven't even mentioned the Timberwolves, who were one of the worst teams ever.
Are they still here?
They're still here.
They're still here. All right.
Very possibly the NBA could be locked out for this season, or for at least part of the season. So,
Don't care.
And the Timberwolves are years away from being a contender. So,
although they got that Ricky Rubio guy or
Ricky
whatever.
Ricky Rubio. The Italian stallion.
I think he's from Spain, actually. But
whatever.
He's a Spanish salamander, Shane.
And just to rub it in a little bit more, our neighbors to the east, Wisconsin, dominating.
They could not be doing any better. Your Brewers,
baseball,
your Packers, your college football.
We don't know about the Bucks.
Do they have hockey?
I don't think they have a professional hockey team.
Still, I mean, that's a pretty good run right now.
It hurts is what it does.
Yeah.
So that's the status. If
plus
Adam,
they can buy beer on Sunday.
Which we cannot do. We have to drive across the border just to get ourselves a blatzed.
Yeah.
But if Adam were here, I'm sure he'd add a lot of color to it. Sadness, he's not. So we'll have to wait to talk Vikings maybe next time we do the show. Another thing I wish Adam was here for would be our discussion of the first canceled television shows for the new fall season.
The results are in. That's helpful when you take a four-week break from your last show and then suddenly
it's
things
great.
Happen in the interim and we've got results to share.
So let's remind everyone what was selected. You and I selected the NBC mega hit, the Playboy Club.
Yes.
And what
did
Adam pick?
He picked Free Agents.
Free Agents, which is another...
Very, very close for him. Very close for him.
So, Jared, you've done the research. You've crunched the numbers.
Yes.
Please, tell us what happened.
Well, Shane, in the competition, the annual Scope competition to determine who will be the first fall television show canceled.
Nice.
The winner is... And I'm patting this. Oh, it's gone. Yogi. It's the Playboy Club, Shane.
Oh.
You and I... Co-victors.
I've had pretty good luck picking the first show.
You've had pretty good luck. Since Adam isn't here, he sent us the news, and we've got a list of shows that have been canceled. His pick was Free Agents, mm-hmm. and that was just canceled this week. Made it four episodes.
Okay.
Playboy Club made it only three episodes. So we won by 1 week.
Okay. So we're all on target, I think, which is a good thing.
And another show canceled, the CW reality show hosted by Mario Lopez, Hater. That's H-8-R, Hater.
That was
canceled.
That was on my radar, as a matter of fact. But I don't like to pick CW. It's like I don't think they count as much, you know?
That also made it four episodes. My short list of shows, because I like to have a few to pick from in case we have an overlap when we're picking this, is I had three shows on my list, and they were Hater, Free Agents, and The Playboy Club.
Nice. Look at you.
So that's just...
Why is Hollywood not hiring you? You need to be the guy.
I just had a good feeling after, you know, because my only source for when I'm researching the fall preview is the Entertainment Weekly.
You go in depth.
So I just kind of, you know, looked at shows that looked dumb and and what they were up against. And
we do not have the luxury of watching every single pilot, as do a lot of television critics get to do that. I mean, most of them do. They're probably watching every single show.
And some of those are put out early.
Yeah.
You can stream them from the websites.
Not
as
many.
That,
not as many as in previous years, though. As far as, I mean, wasn't there a year where we watched probably like 4 or 5 pilots?
Well, I don't remember if it was one network or if it was a couple of them, but they did a deal with like Amazon streaming where you could just download it for free. Yeah. So it was real easy to get that.
I think that they should do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that builds goodwill and hype. So
unless your show sucks, then you don't want it out there.
So we win. And
we win.
We will, just as Adam
just
will,
like that thing.
Adam will rub the Redskins victories in our nose. We will rub our terrific pop culture knowledge right in his mug.
You've had a good run. I think other than this year, I think I picked it one other year. I don't think Adam ever has.
No.
Sorry, Adam.
He's always a contrarian, though.
Sorry.
You know, he'd probably pick like the Flaming Lips television biography show or something like that.
He has a general disdain for network television, which is where we tend to focus. So
if every show could be Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I hear it's a good show. I really like to watch it. If it were streaming on Netflix, I probably would have by now.
It's funny. It is funny.
Okay.
So we've got one final thing I wanted to cover, and it's sort of a sad, serious moment, and I think Jared and I will have a lot to say on it. It is the passing of Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Who, you know, it happened last week, and not a complete surprise to anyone. Unfortunately, you always sort of, in the back of your mind, think that you know, people are going to outlast, and it just seems sudden. It doesn't matter if it's a month or a year. It just seems sudden. And
yeah, I mean, we pretty much figured something was up when he resigned his post as CEO. Although his letter, when he said he wanted to remain on the board and stuff, it kind of gave you a little glimmer of hope. Like, well, maybe he's just, you know, this is the right time to wind down, and he still wants to be involved, but not in a day-to-day capacity.
Yes.
But I guess not.
Yeah. Sometimes life works in sad and swift ways, and I think that this was one of them. So I'm not going to rehash, you know, everything that's been said about Steve Jobs.
There's plenty of stuff out there.
I mean,
to look for.
You can get far more personal stories from other people that knew him and had experiences with him that Jared and I certainly couldn't even approach that level. But I do think that it is fair for us to talk a little bit about, number one, I mean, were you sad by this? Because I definitely was sad.
Oh,
I mean, it really impacted me, and as it did millions and millions of people. But I think that it's good to give perspective on why something like this would make people sad. You know, I've read things like in Gawker and stuff like that where they say, you know, Steve Jobs, why are people so worked up about this? He was just a business guy trying to get your money. But I think that you have to look deeper than that. Yes, he was a businessman, and yes, that was part of what he did. He was trying to get as much money for his company as he possibly could.
Yeah.
But you have to think about how the products of Apple impact lives in countless ways day to day to day. I mean, this show would not is done on an Apple.
It could be done on Windows.
It could be,
too,
but everything that I do in my life, my career is done on Apple. I talk on an Apple phone. I use an iPad. I listen to my music through an iPod or my phone. Ever since I was involved with Apple computers probably 1982. I mean, back when I was in elementary school, we worked on Apple IIs and Apple IIes.
Yep.
It has always been a part of life.
Yeah. My first computing experience was on Apple computers, and then, you know, the computer lab in high school was little Macintoshes, and so I did all my stuff on that. And then, I just, you know, we worked on Macs when we worked at our job that you and I shared.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, watching like the first Apple keynote with Steve Jobs back when he introduced the iMac.
When we
watched that streaming in a little postage stamp size window, and it was, but you know, it still came through, and it was
exciting.
I had a way about, you know, just presenting things in a way that you know, people reacted to, and you can say he's just a businessman, but he was actually an artist.
Yeah, he was at heart, I think he was a designer who wanted to make products and wanted to make things that changed the world.
Yeah, and became a seamless user experience.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean that's where it comes from. User experience. That was the key.
Yeah,
it wasn't about
you could intuit how to work something without having to be explicitly told.
Exactly, and you know, you can say that sometimes Apple maybe copied, or you know, they didn't invent the computerized tablet.
No,
but they made it a part of everyone's life.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't invent the GUI, the mouse, any of that stuff, but they figured out how to make it usable for regular people.
Yes. And everything that came after that, you know, was copied. You know, I mean, you think about they didn't create a mobile phone, but think about how many phones look like an iPhone after that came out.
It changed everything. Yeah.
You know, I was reading an interview that's going to come out in Rolling Stone next week, and it was with, I was curious, like, what did Bono think of Steve Jobs? Because I assume they were friends, or they, you know, at least had a relationship, which they did.
There was that whole Bono, their U2 iPod thing years ago.
And he talked a lot about how they went to Steve Jobs in those days and said, we want to be in an iPod commercial. And, you know, we want you to use our song Vertigo in an iPod commercial. And Steve was excited. And then Bono said, we want to be in the commercial. And we want to do it for free. But we want you to make an iPod for us, which was the black and red iPod.
Yeah.
And Steve said, well, iPods are only white. And Bono was like, well, I think you can make this one. And so so they sort of bonded over that. But what Bono said about Steve Jobs was really interesting, and he said Steve didn't make products that people want. He created and designed products that came from his own version of what taste is and what they would want. You know, he didn't. Yeah. You know, he got rid of the floppy drives out of computers. I mean, he did things that were confusing, but for him, they made sense. He was his own best judge. His company was his own best judge. They didn't do market testing.
Yeah.
They did what they thought was right.
And he's always looking forward.
Yep.
He was never looking back. There was a story I just read that where when he came back to Apple and he was looking for more space on campus, he came across a room that had a whole bunch of old Macs and other various hardware, and he said, get this out of here. Yep. He shipped it off to Stanford.
Like it's so, some sort of historical... So
we're not looking back. We're looking forward. We don't need this old stuff around.
Yeah, the thing is that there are CEOs and people that can do that. But, you know, or anyone can do that. You can be your own judge. But there are very few people out there that can do it successfully and really, really know what the best way of doing things are. And Steve Jobs is not perfect.
Yeah.
But he had an incredible run from the late 90s up until now. I mean, it was hit after hit after hit for the most part.
Everyone has bumps. But yep. So I guess the question is, where does Apple go from here?
Well, I mean, obviously...
You can't replace a Steve Jobs.
Obviously, I think that they've done a few things. Number one, they've created, the Apple University, which is... a training program that really espouses, is that the correct word, the values of Steve Jobs, what he brought to the job, and how you can bring those values into other people. So you have something like that they're really secretive about, but it's like an executive training program. It may be larger scale than that. And I've also read that Apple has a product plan lined up for, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume that they're planning for the future, and you're going to still see Steve Jobs' impression on these things for the next few years at least.
To fully answer the question, can you replace Steve Jobs? I don't know. I don't know if you can. I think that if you don't have a figurehead for that company, though, you lose some of the aura.
Yeah,
you know,
that's,
you know,
sort
what I mean?
Of, yeah,
it's like you need to have someone that says, we are going to drive technology and the world in a certain direction. I'm going to be that person that's going to do that for you.
Yeah, and at least a part of the cult of Apple is people's interest in what a Steve Jobs is up to and what he's how he's going to present it and what he's working on.
So you've got Tim Cook, right, who is sort of the replacement for Steve Jobs, who I've...
Not sort of, he actually is.
He is the replacement.
But yeah, certainly maybe not in inspirational capacity.
Yeah, I've heard that he is really good at what he does. I've heard that people like him. But I, who knows what he brings to the job that Steve had that, or that was different, or what he doesn't have that Steve did. I don't really know.
And they're going to have to figure that out.
And
like we've said, it's going to be a couple years before you start seeing the Cook influence on the Apple direction, I would think.
I think Apple needs to capitalize on their continued ability to get people excited about what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That I think they have to hold on to that. However they do that, I think that they're going to have to figure that out, because it's not going to be the same as it is now. But their keynotes and their big presentations that they have, you've got to have people excited about it. You need to have people speculating about an iPhone 5 when really you know they're only going to get an iPhone 4.5.
Yeah.
You need people to be excited about that. And
it's a little sad that there's a lot of disappointment over the Tuesday announcement of the next iteration of the iPhone, which wasn't the iPhone 5. It was, you know, a revision of the iPhone 4 with certainly good things being added to it.
Sure.
And then, you know, the next day you've got Steve Jobs passing. And it's like,
yeah, it's sad.
It's sort of a 1-2 punch that you don't want to have to see Apple go through. But, the stock hasn't been too bad. So
no, it didn't. It decreased very little, actually.
Yeah. I mean, there was a bit of a drop right after the iPhone because I think people's expectations were way too high. But
that's always been the problem with Apple. People always expect that they're going to change the world every single time they have a product release, and that's not quite the case with them.
You gotta feel. Go ahead.
It's a matter of refine, and then revolutionize. I mean, it's like it's a stepped process for them.
And how much innovation can you bring to a product line that's now into its fifth iteration? Is it one? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they're smarter than we are. Yeah. And I think that will be exciting with their next phone, but you sort of have to understand what's going to happen and how they do things. And that's how they do things, you know.
Yep.
It's new product, refine that product. New product, refine that. It's always been that way, and it always will be. So hopefully they can continue that and keep the spirit of what Steve Jobs brought to the company and go from there. I certainly hope so. I mean, I love Apple. I'm unafraid to admit that, and it has impacted my life in a terrific way, and I truly hope that it continues to do that.
I wish it would impact my life a little bit more, because I wish I had an iPad really bad. You got to be impressed, though. He managed to make it all the way through and establish a series of products for Apple with really no significant gaps. I mean, They've got all their pieces. I mean, other than some people might say that Apple needs their last real push is into
TV, right?
You know, having a TV. I don't know that that's that important. I mean, I think if it was that important, they would have done something by now. They have their Apple TV add-on. I don't know that they want to be in the actual manufacturing of HD televisions.
No.
There's no margins there.
I think...
And Apple's about margins.
Yes.
They make boutique products, and people complain about the prices, but guess what? This is free market at work. They charge what they can get for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're paying a little bit of a premium for an Apple product, but you're also getting world-class industrial design.
Yes.
So,
I wish everything had that sort of thought put behind it. And that's not the case. So, and that's especially not the case in most technology gadgets and stuff
like
that.
No, and most people can't figure out why. You know, you look at there hasn't been anyone in the Android. I mean, now we're getting off of, we're talking about just general products.
Rest in peace, Steve Jobs.
But in the Android tablet market, there hasn't been one that has established itself as a true competitor.
You're absolutely right.
They just
right.
can't figure it out. They're just ticking off things. Oh, we need to have a bigger screen, more memory, faster processor. No, it's not about that. It's about the software.
And
it's about how the whole thing works together as a system.
And I think it goes back to what Bono said. They're creating things because people are asking for it.
Yep.
They're not creating things because together in a totality, that's the best thing to make.
And they're not creating things that people didn't realize they wanted.
Yeah,
which
that's
is what
exactly
Apple would do.
It.
Apple would create something like, you didn't know you wanted it, and then you see it and you're like, oh yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
That's what they were great at.
That's
and still
exactly
are great at. So
I mean, Ford did it with the Model T. Yep. I mean, why do you need a car when you can ride a horse?
So, quick question, just maybe to wrap up this discussion.
Yes,
in the inevitable biopic of Steve Jobs that will come, who do you think should play Steve Jobs?
Oh, yes. So, Sony bought the rights for a reported $1 million. I don't know.
Some people have said, you know, Noah Wiley, he's done it already.
Yeah.
Pirates of Silicon Valley was okay. I'm not sure that he's...
It's a television movie, so...
I'm not sure that Noah Wiley is at the caliber or the right age. He's not old enough. I mean, if you're going to... I guess it depends on where you're going to portray him, but... I don't know. I don't know who you get to play him. I'm trying to think about that, but...
You have to get somebody that wears makeup well, or you do two actors with, you know?
Yeah. I guess I could see maybe a Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the role. I'm just thinking about who might look like him a little bit.
Yeah. That's not a bad one.
You know, but, you know, definitely a younger Steve Jobs, he could fit in that.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Well, I look forward to something like that. And I will definitely be buying his book, I've decided,
as well.
We'll
do this a couple more times.
Like, straighten those papers out, Jared. Steve Jobs would be very angry at the fact that we're actually holding paper products.
He would be. So, why are we not using...
Well, why are we not looking forward?
You have an iPad and an iPhone.
Yeah, I still got paper.
They're practically mating on the table.
Well, let's talk about what we got going on for the rest of the show. A new segment that I don't know what Jared's calling, but I'm calling it, I Hate That Movie.
Okay, I wasn't sure what you're going to call it.
I hate that movie.
You hate that movie.
Yeah.
All right.
So really,
that's fair.
Really, Jared and I are
a little more emotion behind it than the working title that we
what
had talked about.
What was the working title?
I think it was, I really didn't like that movie.
Yeah, I hate that movie.
Now you're, I hate that movie.
I hate that movie.
Wow.
So really what we're doing is we're picking sort of mainstream films that maybe people like, maybe people don't, but... Really, we definitely don't.
Really, the only caveat is that it couldn't be a Transformers film.
Yeah. And I made sure that Jared wasn't picking some C-level horror film that, you know, was done in some kid's basement. And, you know, we wanted something that had a little more heft, some star power to it. So hopefully...
I think mine qualifies in that department.
Okay, good. Me too. I totally think so as well. So then we've got Under the Scope. It'll be a bit of an abbreviated segment.
Oh, wait. I'm just looking at my screen for my soundboard for the show. And I just titled that segment, Movie No Likey.
Movie No Likey. I like that one. Movie No Likey.
A little... Anyway,
so we got Under the Scope. Jared will be reading news. We'll also be talking about the new fall TV season. Just some quick thoughts and feelings, and I'll do Coming Soon, just because poor Jared can't blow his voice out.
I can't read it all, man. I can't read it all.
So I'm excited about this, and with Adam not being here, I'm super excited.
Wow.
So it's streamlined. It is streamlined. So, Jared, let's take a break. Okay. We'll be back with more Scope 115 right after this.
This is The Fump. But vodka, you're my wingman. If anyone can hook me up, you can. You gotta help me, vodka, help me get around.
Crayola's all that I know. The color's delicious, making a rainbow. Crayola, I love you so.
Thank you, Gilligan. Thank you, Skipper. Thank you, Thurston, Lobby Ho. Thank you.
Walking silly once again. Doing that Monty Python thing.
Minnie and I said, go!
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com. Funny.
Well, we are back with Movie No Likey.
I
really hate that movie.
You got a little more.
Yeah.
I really hate it.
Yeah.
See, there's an inflection there. That's a winner.
Yeah, I like that. So we here at The Scope spend a lot of time talking about pop culture we love.
The musical wrap-up right
now. Very nice. We love a lot of things. We try to come out on the positive tip, except for Adam. You know, I'm talking about things like Star Wars and Lost, or in Adam's case, U2 and the Beatles, because we know how much he loves U2 and the Beatles.
He loves them.
All the good stuff. But we never really specifically cover the stuff that we just can't stomach. Well, those days are over, ninjas.
Ninjas.
Today we talk about mainstream films that we just can't stand. So strap yourself into your car seat and get ready for three proper film eviscerations. Eviscerations.
I need to be put in my car seat.
Yeah, you know, you're sort of immature.
Yeah.
So, Jared, would you like to start, or would you like me to start?
I don't care.
That's not helping. I didn't care, so that's why I asked
Usually
you
don't start when you introduce a segment, okay. So I can start.
It says you don't like Shaney Notaki.
I go last a lot, too. So
you do. You're usually the anchor, man.
Right.
So
well, I had a lot of
and
trouble.
I don't know what this is, by the way, Jared.
You don't?
Full disclosure, crowd. Okay. I don't know what Jared's picked.
Interesting. Well, I figured you might have seen the sound clip drop in the box, but...
I didn't.
All right.
Sound clip no likey.
So I had a hard time. This was this segment was brought up a couple weeks back or mm-hmm. whatever, and I've been trying to think about it, and I know which one you're doing, and that would have been a go-to one for me as well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, gosh, what movies do I really hate? There's so many movies. It's like if I don't hate it, I don't tend to spend a lot of brain cycles on remembering that I hated it.
You're like Steve Jobs. You're forward thinking.
Yep. I never look back. Never look back.
You're like Don Henley, Boys of Summer.
And there's just really very few films where I truly, truly hate them. You can usually find something to like, or it's in the middle or something. So I'm trying to think of how do I find a film. I'm like, let me look at the AFI top whatever lists and see if there's a film that's well-regarded that I really, really don't mm-hmm. like. And I just didn't find anything
there.
Angie was naming off films, and I was... Every film she said, I either liked it or I was like, it's all right. Or it's like, okay. You know, it didn't generate any feeling. So my strategy last night as I'm working for the show was I am going to go and find out like the top 20 box office performers by year.
That's a good idea.
So I found a website and I just started going. I didn't want to.
Wait a second. You went on the internet to find this?
I used the Google.
Oh my God. You are something else. You are a forward thinker.
Yeah, I probably could have gone to like Box Office Mojo or something, but I don't know, just found some random site that worked for me. And I didn't want to go too recent.
Like that's not as much fun.
The last 10 years. So I kind of started in 2000 and started tracking back.
Gotcha.
It didn't take long because I got to 1999 and I found my film, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And that film, summer blockbuster, A Wild, Wild West.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I saw that title and I was like, dang, it was like this, right in my head, just like that. Just, you know, I was just sitting there going, Wild Wild West, that's the one.
Universally accept as a piece of shit movie, but it doesn't get enough credit for being how shitty it actually is.
Yeah, and in doing my, you know, copy-paste from Wikipedia for some introductory text, it actually turns out the film has a cult following. I don't get it, but
a cult
anyway.
Of idiots?
So let's dig into Wild Wild West here. God. Here's a little copy-pasta for you here.
Copy-pasta.
Wild Wild West is a 1999 American steampunk action comedy film. Keep in mind, Wikipedia is edited by the people. So.
I love that. It is kind of steampunk.
It really is.
Did they wear tiny hats in that movie?
There were no tiny hats. It was very in the beginning of steampunk, and people hadn't yet established what the aesthetic was going to be, Shane. It's an action comedy film directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, also known for the Men in Black films, and starring Will Smith, Kevin Klein, who appears in dual roles as both the protagonist Artemis Gordon and as President Ulysses S. Grant. Kenneth Branagh...
Doing
a devilishly sinful Southern accent, and
sort of devilishly gay Southern accent,
a little bit. And eye candy Salma Hayek, who was very big at the time. No pun intended.
Yes, I'm listening to you, Jared. I'm just doing something. That's right. At the same time.
So here we go. Similar to the original TV series it was based on, that was 1965's The Wild Wild West, which ran for 5 seasons, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The film features a large amount of gadgetry. The film serves as a pair.
That's funny. I don't know why that's funny.
There are an awful lot of gadgets in both the TV show and the film. The film serves as a parody, however, and the gadgetry is more highly advanced, implausible steampunk technology and bizarre mechanical inventions, including innumerable inventions of the mechanological genius.
Oh, my goodness.
Artemis Gordon and Dr. Lovelace. That's the character played by Kenneth Branagh. Such as the nitroglycerin-powered penny-farthing bicycles.
Oh, God, I forgot all this shit.
Spring-loaded notebooks, bulletproof chainmail, flying machines, steam tanks, and Lovelace's giant mechanical spider. There's also a scene where, early in the film, where Kevin Klein's Artemis Gordon takes the head of a man who's been beheaded.
Okay.
And apparently through some sort of science that he made up, he says, like, their final image is burned on the back of the retina.
That's
I watched
right.
this last night in research, Shane.
You watched the whole film?
I watched the whole thing. It was on Netflix streaming. I don't own it.
You better not.
And he shone like a big light through the back of its head through the eyeballs, like it was a movie projector.
Okay.
And the whole time Will Smith is just sitting there going, "That's my head. That's he man. That's my head." Anyway, we'll get to Will Smith's performance.
Please.
So apparently it shows like a slide on the wall, and you could see a bunch of stuff. So there's some science for you in the
film. It's a good science.
Yeah.
Good science.
While the film was popular at the box office, it did not live up to its creator's blockbuster expectations, as had Men in Black 2 years earlier. The film was received by negative reviews, and star Will Smith said he was generally unhappy with the movie.
Really?
Just a quick plot synopsis for you, though, Shane.
Okay.
If in case you've forgotten in the intervening years.
I've sort of forgotten. But...
It's been 12. Jim West is a guns-a-blazing former Civil War hero. Artemus Gordon is an inventive U.S. Marshal who excels in disguise. When the United States is threatened by psychotic Confederate Arliss Lovelace, President Ulysses Grant teams the duo up to bring him to justice. And by him, they mean Lovelace, not himself. On a hazard-packed train journey from the Washington, D.C. to Utah, West and Gordon must combine their skills to best Lovelace and his diabolical machines. Sounds like a recipe for success, right?
I mean, that's if I were to make a film, I think that would be the infrastructure of it.
Shane, I have a clip to share with you that gives you just a kind of a...
there's actually clips for this.
Kind of an idea of what the humor was like in this film.
Oh, humor.
And just a glimpse into the scenery chewing, I guess, of your Will Smith and your Kenneth Branagh.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm excited.
Set up the scene. Captain Jim West has just arrived at a party that is all Southern people talking about Confederate stuff. So, of course, there's got to be some slavery overtones. This party is thrown by Lovelace. So, here we go.
Let the party begin!
Mr. Webb.
How nice of you to join us tonight and add...
I should preface this with a bit of information on the villain in his appearance, because it is sort of important to this clip. He apparently lost the lower half of his body at one point.
Okay.
And so it is basically abdomen up, and he's in a wheelchair.
And who played the villain again?
Kenneth Branagh. Yes. So it's sort of important. That's why I wanted to set up. Here we go. Back to the clip.
To these monochromatic proceedings.
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
Ha-ha.
Miss East informs me that you're expecting to see General McGrath here. Well, I knew him years ago, but I haven't seen him in a coon's age.
He's black, remember?
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know.
Ha-ha-ha.
Well, perhaps the lovely Miss East will keep you from being a slave to your disappointment.
You know, beautiful women, they encourage you one minute, cut the legs out from under you the next.
Quiet. Excuse me, Mr. West. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, there you go. That's sort of how the film goes.
I'm scratching my head in sadness.
I went with that clip because if you try to watch the trailer of the film, it's literally... action scenes over the terrible, terrible Will Smith Wild Wild West song, rap song that closes the movie.
As things often happened where you'd have the completely inappropriate rock and roll or rap song at the end of a period piece, a la Titanic or, you know, stuff
now,
like that.
Now, I won't say that this film doesn't have plenty of inaccuracies, but the rap song at the end, King of the Hill,
okay.
On that regard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I have a bullet list here of why this film is bad.
I like bullet lists.
Bullet lists of why this is bad, and feel free to interrupt me for further discussion at any point.
I often interrupt you.
My first comment when watching the film in the first 5 minutes was, Will Smith really Will Smith's this role? And that he makes no attempt to play a period or anyone but himself.
Yeah. They said, Will, we like what you do.
Yes. Be a smart-ass Will Smith.
We're
going to
put a cowboy hat on you.
Yeah.
And you just do it, bro.
Yep. The whole film is nothing is well, I shouldn't say nothing but it's filled with terrible slapstick humor. You know, just pratfalls galore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene midway through the film where Artemis and Jim are... They have these collars placed on their necks
that
are magnetic, that these big spinning... saw blades would fly at them. They figure out how to defeat the saw blades, but yet they still have the collars on. And at some point, one of the polarities gets reversed, so they stick together.
With a big clang sound,
big old
I'm sure.
clang, and they try to run far away, and they still get sucked back together. It's just the whole film's filled with all this kind of bullshit.
The film's all full of sucky.
Full of sick. The jokes are juvenile. Kevin Kline's character, Artemis Gordon, kind of falls in love with Selma Hayek. And he can't seem to utter a sentence in her presence or without making some sort of Freudian slip talking about lady parts. And then both lead characters get significant screen time cross-dressing.
Oh, it's the terrific cross-dressing
yes.
scenes.
You're introduced to Artemis Gordon when he's dressed as a brothel whore. And then later in the film, Will Smith gets to dress up as some sort of like shitty belly dancer, I guess, for lack of a better, who shows up at the big party at the end. Very, very bad.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It sounds terrible.
And how anyone in this comedy would fall for either of them as a woman is ridiculous.
I would like any of our listeners who would admit to liking this film to let us know. Because I just don't know anybody that likes this movie.
Right.
I would like to meet someone that likes Wild Wild West.
Saying we're about a third to the list.
Oh my God, he's literally got papers full of bullet lists.
The racism angle was really unnecessary, yet it became necessary once you cast a black man in the role of Jim West, who was not a black man in the 60s TV series. Given the time period it takes place in, you know, mm-hmm. it's, I believe, the 1860s or something. It's post-Civil War.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a black man in a role of authority dealing with people who are Southern sympathizers, there's going to be racism, period.
Of course.
Have to have that as part of the story. It's handled very poorly. And really stupidly. And it's like, I think it's a huge distraction. But like I said, once you cast Will Smith in the role, now you have to deal with it because it's the time period you're dealing with.
Because you have to stay realistic.
Right. It was.
Could they have ignored it?
I think if you ignored it, you're going to be like, why are these Southern people not doing
it?
I mean, but
that so just
you gotta
feels
have
really
your,
odd.
You got to have a scene where he almost gets lynched. And you have the back and forth when he shows up at the Southern Sympathizers party that we just heard the clip of. You know, there's all kinds of stupid
You're
shit.
You're just being politically correct.
The show had none of the charm of the 60s TV show. I used to watch it as a kid. I thought it was fun. You know, it was, you know, fun gadgets and adventures and stuff like that. It was never really dopey or silly in my memory. So, I don't know. Salma Hayek is really pointless and she's just there for TNA and because she was a big star at the time. So, let's get her in there.
Yeah.
The villain, just really a boring caricature villain. He's one note. I want the South to rise. I want the colonies to return to England or whatever his thing was. And I'm going to destroy stuff with my machines because I'm bitter.
And a half a man,
whatever,
which we heard in a great joke montage.
And really, really hammed up by Kenneth Branagh. It's just like
the guy that directed Thor.
It's the tone.
Shakespearean actor.
It's the tone of the film that everything is over the top and as big as it can be. But it's just so grating and annoying that, these guys are supposedly the best of the jobs, yet they kind of suck at them. They're always getting captured. Things are never working. Artemis Gordon is supposed to be this brilliant inventor, yet none of his shit ever works, except for the very end when it conveniently works. You know, it's just, and Jim West always seems to get himself into situations where he's got to shoot himself out or,
yeah.
I don't know, it's just like, I don't know.
Well, you seem exhausted.
I really shouldn't be, and this is my final point here, I really shouldn't be, you know, grousing over this one point because the film is not meant to be realistic, but they completely botched the history of the founding of the Secret Service.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because Secret Service wasn't founded by Ulysses S. Grant, it was founded by Abraham Lincoln, and in the movie, it was supposedly founded to protect the president, because that's what they did. And, of course, Jim West and Artemis Gordon are agents one and two and have to argue over who's one and who's two. anyone who knows their history knows that the Secret Service was originally created to fight counterfeiting. And their mandate to protect the president didn't happen until the 20th century.
Wow. So, you didn't tell the story of the giant mechanical spider?
It's there. What do you want to hear about it?
What, so the story goes is that was it the producer or the writer of this film wanted to have a giant mechanical Spider-Man or spider in the Superman Returns movie?
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, when they were going to redo it.
Sure.
And that movie ended up not being made. I think it might have even been the Kevin Smith version of it.
Yeah.
So he went on to do Wild Wild West. And guess what was in Wild Wild West?
Big old steampunk spider.
Mechanical spiders.
Which was kind of stupid. I guess it was okay it doesn't fit in anything.
It fits more in this movie than it would Superman.
True.
But still, it shouldn't be there.
Maybe not your best idea.
No.
Any thoughts, Shane?
Well, I can just relate some personal memories about this film. We went, this was in the heyday of the Jared and Shane seeing movies for free. This was one that we saw together for free in a northern suburb of Minneapolis. And it was a pretty full house. I think, was there leaking in that? There was something wrong with the theater.
You're right.
There was, so you couldn't sit in all the seats because there was leaking from the
the
roof. This was sort of, this was even before stadium seating was really prevalent.
True.
So it was, you know, old theaters. And I just remember...
You're really painting a picture here.
I remember seeing this film and being repulsed. And I was, I had just started dating my wife at the time.
Yep.
She was not my wife. But she was really sick. So she did not... I don't think she ever saw them. She didn't go with us. We had extra tickets, but she stayed home because she had a fever of 105. If she would have seen this movie, it probably would have killed her.
Oh, wow.
I would have never gotten married.
That frail.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's how much damage a movie like this can do to an individual.
I remember...
I hated it. I hated this movie.
I remember seeing the opening credit sequence at the time and going, well, it's kind of cool. It's not bad. It's
The opening credits were the best part of the movie.
And upon watching them again, I don't even think they're that good.
Yeah, for the time, they were good.
Yeah.
And I think, as I recall... We sort of knew this movie was going to be iffy.
Yeah.
We were very skeptical going in. It wasn't like we were thinking this was going to be a great film. I think we I believe we probably wanted it to be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because you want shit to not smell doesn't mean it's not going to smell. It smelled.
Pretty much. I mean, you can control it with diet, but it's still going to smell a little
bit. And just as a personal... if you're a baby, baby's poop don't smell as much. But on a personal note... This probably was the starting point where I really began to not like Will Smith. And I really don't like Will Smith now. I find him one note. I don't find him a very good actor. And I hate his fake connections with Scientology. Or his real connections that he pretends that aren't there.
I think and I agree with some of that, but he does break through occasionally with a really, really good performance.
What was that movie where he played like the homeless guy?
The Pursuit of Happiness.
I thought he was way overrated.
Really?
I think his best dramatic performance was his first dramatic performance, and I can't remember what it was, but he played a prep school kid. What was the name of that movie?
Was it like the Shakespeare based one?
I don't know if it was Shakespeare. It was Modern Times. It was really small.
You can do Shakespeare in Modern Times. That was like his first big role.
Well,
okay, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. I just can't think of the name right now. So
maybe it was Shakespearean based. I don't know, but that was about the only thing I've really liked him in a dramatic way. I just think that he brings too much of himself into it.
Like I said, he Will Smiths the role,
and that's and that's the problem.
And sometimes that's what you want, but.
So very nicely done, Jared.
Thanks.
I'm picking a movie as well, and I know that you hate this movie. I saw this movie with you.
Yep.
Saw this movie with my wife.
Maybe we should stop seeing movies together.
It's amazing how many of the free movies that we saw back in the day were really shitty movies.
Yeah,
I'm sure I've talked about this movie on the show before, maybe not to this level of in-depthness, but if I have... Forgive me.
Bring it.
It's worth it. So the movie, 1998 film starring Robin Williams, Monica Potter, Philip Seymour Hoffman in one of his earliest performances.
Oh, wow. I forgot he was in that.
Character actor Bob Gunton, who also is known for like the warden for Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
And so he was he's always sort of played a jerk.
Sure.
He's rarely not a nice guy. The movie is the fact-based Patch Adams, one of my least favorite. This might be my least favorite movie of all time.
Mm. This was smack dab in the middle of the big earnest Robin Williams phase.
So as people recall, Robin Williams has two sort of physical appearances. He's got the bearded Robin Williams,
yes.
And he's got the non-bearded.
Both
Robin
of
Williams.
Which appear in the in a commercial for the Zelda game coming up.
Oh, really?
Have you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, he's playing a game. Because
his kid's name was named after Zelda.
She's in it, too. They're playing a game. This is a little sidebar. Playing a game on whatever the game is that's coming out for the 3DS or something. It's coming out. It's a remake for the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
I know you can play against people on your wireless network.
Whatever. Okay.
They're playing, and apparently she beats him. And he's got a big old beard at the beginning, so he's like, and he walks off camera and comes back. He's all clean shaven.
I guess I got to see it.
Yeah, it's pretty amusing. It's on toplessrobot.com.
Okay.
You should go check it out.
I'll watch it. So
anyway.
So back in those days when Robin Williams didn't have a beard, usually his movies were flops. If he had a beard, usually they were good. And, you know, he was nominated for an Oscar. That did change over time where he actually had some good dramatic roles.
Fisher King, he was bearded.
Yes, he was.
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting, bearded. what else was he bearded in? He was bearded in Dead Poets Society. He was not bearded. So maybe that sort of, that breaks
that's
it.
What, that's exception appears to rule, Shane.
So Patch Adams, it's the fact-based story of Hunter Patch Adams, the founder of the Gesundheit Clinic, a clinic which deals with their patients with humor and pathos. The film starts with Hunter admitting himself as a patient in a mental ward. While there, he found he enjoyed helping the other patients and found the staff could be cold and separative from those patients. So he vowed to change things. He released himself from the hospital and headed to the Virginia Medical College, where he enrolled and tried to use that to become a doctor. But his unorthodox method cast him up against many of the doctors and deans of the university, despite him getting some of the highest grades in the class. So he was super talented, but he was kind of going against the grain.
He's a maverick, Shane.
He's a funny maverick. So throughout all this, Adams develops a relationship with a fellow med student, Karen. Recognizing that many poor people were not being treated, they formed the Gesundheit Clinic to aid those who were not getting proper treatment at the hospitals. So, well, the joke is soon on Karen and Adams because she reveals to him that she has been molested as a child and has always wanted to be a butterfly to escape her torment. Patch reassures her that she can overcome her pain to help others. So more encouraged than ever by Patch in his spirit, Karen wants to help a disturbed patient by visiting him at home. Ooh, boy. That's not a good idea. This guy, Larry, turns out to be far more disturbed than anybody had expected, and he murders her, turning the shotgun on himself after.
I've forgotten all about that.
and I'll kind of get to... I'm sort of reading the plot because I have to do that. Then I'll go back and sort of talk about these things. Okay. I just think that's the best way of doing it. So Patch is devastated and guilt-ridden by Karen's death. But he reconsiders his outlook and questions the goodness of humanity. He even contemplates suicide, but tells God that heaven is not worth it and turns to see a butterfly flapping through the breeze. It's like Karen is speaking to him. He then realizes Karen mentioned to him that she always wanted to be a butterfly and decides to continue his work in her honor. So he ends up getting dismissed from the school for a second time because he ran a clinic... that clinic, the Gesundheit Clinic, and practice medicine without a license, which is perfectly okay if you're doing it with humor. He files a grievance with the state medical board and must attend a hearing where it is decided that he can graduate. Patch is able to convince the board in a final stirring speech that he did his best to help the people that came to him, stating that treating a disease of the body is a win or lose situation, but treating a person's spirit guarantees a win despite the outcome. In the end, the jury accepts Patch's medical methods and decides to allow him to graduate. He receives a standing ovation from the packed hearing room, which, by the way, is full of a bunch of sick cancer kids that Patch sort of had come in and stand around that he happened to treat earlier in the film. Sounds like a winner. So that's the story. So the thing about this movie is it is the height of manipulation. When we do the segment again, I got another movie that does the same thing, but... it is so heavy-handed in how it executes. It is this movie just full of cliches where you've got the maverick, you've got the stick-in-the-mud who doesn't understand, you've got this built-in love interest, which, by the way, she is brought in like the end of the second act and is killed almost immediately in the third act. I mean, she's there for probably three scenes.
I totally forgot that she...
yeah, she was played by Monica Potter, who is on Parenthood right now. And I hated her because of that movie. But she's actually a decent actress. But that movie showed her in such a poor, terrible light that for 10 years, I'd wanted nothing to do with her. You've got the foreshadowing, which is so blatant and hits you over the head. And it's Patch Adams can do no wrong, but yet he opens up a medical clinic without a license. He's not even a doctor, and he opens up a medical clinic. And so you just wonder, as a watcher of movies, what you're supposed to gravitate to that could be positive.
So it has all of the tropes.
Yes, and it's everything, and it's based on a true story that... Even I was reading about this. Roger Ebert ran into the real Patch Adams at some event, and the first thing he said to him was, "I really hated that movie." I mean, he disavowed it.
Wow.
Some of the other movie.
So Patch Adams hated it.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. So here's some review quotes that I pulled out because it's an old movie and it's sort of in the beginning ages of the internet really being a powerhouse, so it's harder to find this stuff.
You took the step I considered but didn't do.
So, Roger Ebert says, Patch Adams maybe wanted to spray the screen with Lysol. This movie is shameless. It's not merely a tearjerker. It extracts tears individually by liposuction without anesthesia. Neil Minow of the Common Sense Media says, unforgivably manipulative and shallow. And Ken Hankey of the Mountain Express says, indulges to the hilt every obnoxious, hyperactive, oh, what I wouldn't give for a tranquilizer gun aspect of Robin Williams' performing style. Which is exactly it.
Yeah.
So I've talked a lot about this. Why don't we play the movie trailer, which has, by the way, I think the music in it is the Oscar-nominated musical score for Patch Adams, which is one of the most manipulative things I've ever heard in my entire life. Play the clip.
It is our mission here. To rigorously ruthlessly train the humanity out of you and make you into something better. We're going to make doctors out of you.
Doctors are not human, Jerry.
Well, I just believe there's more to being a doctor than memorizing facts about the ventricular arteries.
I don't care what you think. I care about my biology test.
We're not even going to see a patient until the third year.
If you want to become a doctor, we have to learn to treat the patient as well as the disease. That's why we have to dive into people.
You have a brilliant mind, and like many brilliant people, you don't necessarily think the rules apply to you.
It was so much more convenient thinking of you as an idiot.
That little ice that just chipped off.
If you want to be a clown, go join the circus.
For your own sake, I think you should just lay low for a while.
The hospital will cover all of your bills. Any other questions?
He's
doing patients
funny
are opening up to me, Corinne. They're sharing their dreams, their fantasies. They don't concentrate on the pain.
I'm warning you, stay out of this hospital.
What if a doctor becomes emotionally involved with a patient? What is wrong with that?
Patients don't need a friend. They need a doctor.
My name is Dr. Phil. I'll be your surgeon. Oh, there you are.
You are dismissed, sir, from this school.
They can't prevent me from graduating because of a personality clash, can they?
Universal Pictures presents...
You are not cut out to be a physician.
Our job is improving the quality of life, not just delaying death.
The true story of a man who broke every rule.
Why am I such a threat to you, sir?
Because what you want is for us to get down there on the same level as our patients.
And prove that laughter...
Donner, party of 50! Donner, party over here!
...truly is the best medicine.
Close, loot!
Robin Williams.
You treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person,
even the
I guarantee you'll win, no matter what the outcome.
Patch Adams.
And it has the voiceover guy who is the most famous voice. What's his name? I can't even remember, but he died recently.
Yeah.
Don something?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Don LaFontaine.
Don LaFontaine.
I feel like that music has been like used at the Oscars.
Yeah, probably.
For stuff. It just feels like it's been in other places.
Well, it grabs you by the nutsack and shakes you around. This and I've told this story before, but we saw this one at a sneak preview.
Yeah,
we were sitting next to the film critic of the Minneapolis, the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Oh, that's right.
And through this movie, I would literally look over at Carrie, who's sitting next to me on my right, and he was sitting my left. And I think you were sitting to Carrie's right, and we were talking through it. Like, we cannot believe what we are watching. I think we might even said things at the screen during the film, which we never do.
Yeah.
And so the lights come up and I look over, we're talking and we're just hammering this movie. I look over at the film critic and he's laughing as he's writing his notes. And my biggest regret is never saying to him, I hope that you demolish this film in your review because it absolutely deserves it. And I think he did. I went looking for it, couldn't find it. Shit, I wish I could have emailed him, got him on the show to talk about Patch Adams, but this could be one of my most despised movies of all time. It's definitely top three hated movies.
I'm looking at, you know, at the Rotten Tomatoes review, you know, the little quotes, and we're definitely not off base when it comes to recognizing the manipulations that were in place. It seems to be kind of the consensus. And of course, as you would expect often with films like this, the Rotten Tomato score is 23%. The audience score is 77%.
It doesn't make no sense. People are more likely to give it love than give it hate, I guess.
I just think that it's like the review said, this film is crafted for people who haven't seen a lot of movies. And so they respond to it.
It's by the numbers all the way through.
Yep.
And the numbers are 1 and 2. That's
I think I looked at the Wild Wild West scores and it was low on both counts. So
there is some accounting for taste there.
Yeah.
So Patch Adams, Wild Wild West, funny, came from sort of the same time period of films.
If you disagree with us, please write in the comments. Let us know and let us know why we're wrong. I got a feeling we're not going to get any comments, but
yeah,
I want to know. It's like this is definitely not, you know, we're not putting this out there as this is a universally bad film. These are just films we hate.
And I don't think I went into these films like expecting Hamlet or Macbeth.
No.
I went into these films just probably expecting to hate them, and I think I was right on target.
But if you're just going to say, you're wrong, it's a good film, you stupid poopy heads, that's not constructive.
And we're talking to Adam.
If you actually did like either of these films, please explain why, so we can actually have a fun discussion on it. Because that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. So, we'll try to do the segment again with Adam, because I'm sure that he will bring even more spite and vile.
Yeah, and he won't have to do any work, because he's already got it all
he's done.
Ready to go.
That bastard.
Yeah.
So, guys, thanks for listening to our newest segment.
Wow, we are already an hour in.
I really hate that movie.
Yeah.
But I hope you don't say that about this podcast. So let's take a quick break. We'll do some music. We'll come back.
I thought it wasn't I really hate this movie. I thought it was I hate that movie.
I hate that movie.
Yeah, there you go.
I hate that finger waving.
It's awesome.
Wagging the finger. I hate that movie.
If you could only see this finger waving action that I'm seeing.
It's a big, long ET like
fantastic.
Finger.
He's hitting the light right. That's great.
Strobe light. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. More Scope after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds. The Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
This is the title track from Jonathan Coulton's new album, Artificial Heart.
They gave me a test to make me the best that I could be. They knew all along that there was something wrong with me. We picked out a spot and made a hole. Wire and glass and stainless steel. Now I can imagine how I feel.
Got a new heart, I got a new heart, I got a new heart, I got a new artificial heart. It's not a real heart, it's not a real heart, it's not a real heart, it is a real artificial heart.
There's blood on the bed, but here in my head I'm feeling fine. It's easy to sleep when I'm not buzzing all the time. So funny the way I was before. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was him, but now he's me.
Got a new heart, I got a new heart, I got a new heart, I got a new artificial heart.
You're listening to The Scope. Under the Scope.
And we are back under the scope for segment news.
It's like you almost brought the symbols forth with your whisper.
I know. Since Adam is out, Jared has volunteered.
Yep.
To take on the task of breaking down all the latest headlines.
Welcome to the Scope News. I'm Jared, filling in for Adam. Tonight's top story.
I like it.
Sarah Palin not running for president. In the end, Sarah Palin exited the presidential stage more with a whimper than a bang. After months that seemed like years of playing cat and mouse with Republicans and the press corps, Palin took to Mark Levin's radio show Wednesday night to make clear that she was officially out of the running.
The well-known Mark Levin.
And then her story was completely buried by the death of Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Gone.
His final act of benevolence.
He did it right. What do you say about the state of the union of the Republican nominees for president right now, Jared? Does it seem a little bit disheveled?
A little disheveled. The surge of Herman Cain is interesting to follow.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think, still believes it's Rick Perry's nomination to lose.
You think
if
so?
If he can figure it out. That's what I think the common punditry would say that. He's not doing a good job of holding on to that, though.
No, I think the more and more he's out there, the more and more he's sort of exposed as a bit of a fraud, if you want to know the truth.
I agree, but that doesn't mean he's not going to get the nomination.
Yeah. God, I hope
I mean, who else do you see getting it? Do you see a Romney getting it?
I think Romney gets it. I feel like he's the lock to get this thing.
Okay.
That's how. Just kind of sort of my take. Maybe that's just my feeling, like he's the best of the bunch.
And the Republicans do tend to pick the guy whose turn it is.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say it's his turn.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have no idea how voting is going to happen in 2012, how it's going to go down. So I don't know if whoever the Republicans field is the guy going to have a chance. Is the dislike of Obama enough to bring in one of these guys who don't clearly seem to be the total package? I don't know. I just have no idea how this is going to play out.
And then they had their love affair with Chris Christie for a little while there, who has definitively said, I'm not.
I think it's a good strategy for him to not get involved. I think
he runs in 4 years.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Obama probably wins again, and then I think Christie runs probably against Hillary Clinton, would be my guess.
I think so?
Yeah, I think Hillary ends up running in 4 years.
Not a bad bet.
And I think she could win.
There's much more text here, but I don't think we need to.
No, we don't need
it.
Sarah Palin's out. I think that us not talking about her sort of shows how she has left the zeitgeist of our, you know, she just has become a non-factor. She's like a parlor.
I think if she got in the race, anything, she steals votes away from Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah. Who's going to get nothing. You
which
know?
Is kind of sad, because I hate to say that there can only be one female candidate and that, you know, two of them is just going to split the female vote. But we're still kind of there as a country. So which is really sad, especially on the Republican side. I think Democrats are much more willing to accept a female as an
sure.
iPhone 4S announced Adam getting one. He says for Sprint, Apple announced the iPhone S, the newest generation of the iPhone, with an identical exterior design to the iPhone 4. The inside of the 4S, however, is completely new. It's actually filled with gelatin. It's very strange. I don't know how they figured it out.
I hope it's black cherry.
The new device features an A5 dual-core processor, the same one that's in the iPad 2.
Yes.
8-megapixel camera capable of 1080p video recording, and a new voice recognition application called Siri. Siri getting some interesting negative stories in when you talk foreign lands. It's very close to a naughty word, I think, in Japan.
Oh.
And it's like, I think it's the same. There's a Georgian word, too, for it. It means something derogatory, like penis or something.
Nice. Well,
I don't know.
Penis, please schedule a meeting for me.
So, you know, they're a little ha-ha. Maybe they should have thought about the name a little better, but whatever.
Full disclosure, Jared, I'm glad that I am in the product cycle of Apple in the phone, where when I get my next phone in another year, it will be the iPhone 5.
You're comfortable waiting. Because I've seen some places where you could basically get your phone for free by various means of selling or exchanging your existing phone.
Yeah, it's not enough difference for me. I'm perfectly fine waiting 2 years.
The phone will debut on AT&T, Verizon, and now Sprint. Siri, the highlights of the iPhone 4S, can also schedule appointments and send texts and emails all through voice commands when asked, "What's the weather like today?" The personal voice assistant gave a location-specific answer. Some of the stuff has existed on Android already.
Sure.
But I think Apple has designed an app that's a little bit more user-friendly.
Shocker.
And figured it out, you know. I don't know.
We'll have to see. I'm not convinced that it's going to be a game changer.
No.
Siri, but maybe it does. I don't know. I think people may feel like they can get more done by actually typing in stuff quickly. You know,
I think it's useful in the car when you can't type and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll see.
But I'm happy that Adam's getting one. And, you know, one of these days, Jared, you might get one, too.
I've said that I like my Android phone, but I also like it because I don't pay for it. If I had the opportunity to get an iPhone, or if I was forced to pay for my own plan, I would probably have an
iPhone. You have T-Mobile at work, right?
Yeah.
So you're sort of like the last guy.
We have T-Mobile, but we also have an awful lot of people with iPhones on AT&T. So, but only it seems to be only kind of executive level people who get those, or people who are in a sales position where they need to be fancy.
Well, let's see if we can. We'll work on that. I'll start dropping some hints. Talk to the right people.
We talked about it earlier in the show, but Steve Jobs passed away. Yep. Internet people make jokes and sad faces.
Adam made a joke immediately on Facebook. Something like, insert Steve Jobs iPhone joke here. Too soon, something like that.
He has no shame.
He does have no shame.
Steve Jobs, the creative genius behind products like the Macintosh, iPod, iPhone, and iPad, passed away after a long struggle with cancer. Jobs underwent surgery for the disease in 2004, received a liver transplant in 2009, and took 3 medical leaves of absence as Apple CEO before stepping down from the position in August, saying he could no longer meet the duties necessary to perform. People around the nation and world remembered Jobs as a visionary. Many of them found out about his passing on devices he helped create.
Said Obama.
I saw it on Twitter. That's where I saw it. Twitter is the newsbreaker.
Me too.
Fans arrived at Apple's flagship Manhattan store to leave candles and flowers, and memorials also cropped up worldwide, including in Australia and China. Colleagues and competitors of Steve Jobs also issued statements about his passing. Microsoft founder Bill Gates said, "The world rarely sees someone who has had the profound impact Steve has had, the effects of which will be felt for generations to come." Google CEO Larry Page and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg also thanked Jobs for inspiring them.
I
expected more jokes in that passage.
But yeah, he was actually respectful. Let me say one final note on this, and it refers back to the biography that's the only authorized Steve Jobs biography. I find it to be fascinating, Jared, because it was sort of created and composed with Steve allowed this with the knowledge that he was going to die. And so it's like this tome of his life where here it is, and it can go, you know, it can tell from the beginning to the very end. And knowing that that's sort of the last thing that you're going to leave of your legacy, and having the ability to do that. I mean, who has that opportunity, you know, for your story to be told like that?
Yeah.
I just find it really kind of poetic and sad and interesting and maybe appropriate at the same time.
Yeah, it's like not many people know when they're going to die.
No.
Except for maybe terminal cancer patients.
Sure.
But at the same, you know, you also don't have the means to get a book published about your life. Or, you know, have been notable enough
absolutely.
To do that. So, yeah, it is a pretty rare circumstance where you're able to have that
and
happen.
It's been said before, but it's like the ultimate one last thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here is my story. And, you know, he said, I think in his last interview, that he did it for his kid. Here's kids, so they could know who he was.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that that's a bold thing to do for someone like him who is so private to, you know, that he built his life. He built his company on that privacy to allow someone, a Pulitzer Prize winning author, to have access to all the key people in his life. To ask these questions and really get to the picture of who he was as a man, who he wasn't always the nicest guy.
Oh no.
And you know, still
there's a reason he got kicked out the first time.
Exactly. So I'm really excited to read it and to, you know, kind of get the last word. I think it'll be really interesting.
And publication date pushed up.
Yeah, twice, because, you know, and I don't know why, you know, I think that it's a lot to do with the fact he passed away.
Yeah.
That they rushed it out that fast. You have to capitalize on that stuff. But still,
I think the interest still would have been there on the last release date was in November. Now
I think
it's
late
October.
But now it's like a fever pitch.
Sure.
So I'm very curious and looking forward to reading that book.
Yep. I'll probably end up reading it as well.
Excellent.
So, a couple of entertainment stories here. Simpsons voice actors and Fox publicly fight. Show renewed for 2 more seasons. I don't know how much we want to get into this. I mean, there was a fight over Fox. I suppose
Fox saying that the show is not profitable. It's been going for so long that they can't really make the same amount of money in syndication, I believe, and overseas sales because there's so many episodes of it.
Yeah.
So they,
and it's become financially more expensive to produce.
Yeah, I don't know what the cast members make per season, but it's something
I think they had agreed to $400,000.
So it's like $13 million
it's a lot.
For, you know, 5 principal people. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
Or 4 people.
And so I think this might be it, though. You get 2 more seasons after this, and that could be the end.
25 seems like a reasonable stopping
point. That's a good
point
to stop, I think. I don't think that the show is necessarily creatively run out of juice. It's definitely not the pop culture, bellwether as it used to be. It's not as popular, and that's part of the reason it's not as profitable, as just because it's, you know, not as many people watch it.
No.
But they still get great guests, and they still do good stuff, so... another entertainment news, another show, long thought dead, Arrested Development, movie and new TV episodes.
This
are
is
in
a crazy
works.
One.
Michael Hurwitz, the creator of Arrested Development, and cast members including Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Michael Cera have also done their part to keep hopes of a movie alive, mentioning the project in numerous interviews, often along with apologies for why it wasn't happening yet. It's kind of a weird story. And it basically, maybe you know more about this because I haven't been following it in depth, but... do they have a buyer for the show yet? I've heard Netflix is in the running. I've heard maybe Hulu.
Showtime is very interesting.
Showtime.
So
I think Showtime might be a good fit.
I've heard that it might be what I've read is that it might be a Netflix/Showtime thing.
Okay.
So if it's a Netflix thing, we're going to watch it with you somewhere.
You can get it for $10 a month, Shane, or $8 a month.
Here's the thing about Arrested Development, and this is... Let's get real about Arrested Development for one
real.
Second. Let's get real.
Real.
Arrested Development was not a universally loved show.
No.
In the sense that it was a very small group of people that watched it. Now, it's a great show. Some might argue that it might have stayed a year longer on TV. I don't think the third season is as good as the first two. I really believe that. But the fact remains is that not a lot of people watch this show. So I just wonder if the... You're looking at, is there a ghost?
No, I'm looking, unrelated. Never
okay,
mind. Go ahead.
So I just don't know if this is a show that's going to have enough mass appeal where it's going to be some giant breakout movie. So,
no.
You know, like to do all this stuff, I'm really excited about it. I just don't know if this is something that's going to be super popular. If I were a Hollywood producer, I would be, or a movie studio guy, I'd be real skeptical on the amount of money I could make with this film.
You got to be careful what you're spending. Yeah, you can't spend a lot on it. And hopefully the actors are doing that. They know that.
Yeah.
I would hope.
It's a terrifically funny show. If you haven't watched it, please give it a chance. But I just, you know, my parents would never watch Arrested Development like it.
Yeah. It's not a broadly popular property.
No,
you know, there's a number of the stars have gone on to do other great things. You know, Jason Bateman.
Absolutely.
Has a nice little film career going. Will Arnett finally seems to have landed on another hit series.
Yes.
What's her name? Who played the matriarch Jessica something?
Yep. She's been in a bunch
Jessica
of stuff.
Jessica Walters. She's currently voicing character on the cartoon Archer,
mm-hmm.
which is a funny, funny show. If you're not watching Archer.
She's in 90210. I don't know if she's still on there, but she was on that show.
If you're not watching Archer, you're just missing out.
You're really missing out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I got a story on the Occupy Wall Street coming to the Midwest. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's cover it briefly.
Nicest protests ever ensue. Hundreds of people gathered in downtown Minneapolis Friday for the opening of the Occupy Minnesota demonstration, patterned after weeks of protest in New York's financial district.
Yes.
Office workers, students, retirees, and people who happened to be walking by gathered in front of the Hennepin County Government Center. Here's a quote. "People want to know what we want, what our list of demands is," said Virginia Simpson, among the first to arrive. "There are a lot of things, but there's one main thing. That's profits over people." There's one main problem, profits over people. The crowd was affable and relaxed for the morning, watched over by Hennepin County Sheriff's deputies standing atop the stairs of the government center's north entrance. Authorities have also installed portable wireless video cameras on the plaza to watch the crowd. Protests featured an appearance by Independence Party and former Governor Jesse Ventura, apparently making a trip up from Mexico, where he lives most of the time.
Lives off the land.
Off the grid, yeah. Who spoke and as people started to gather. He compared the gatherings in New York, Minneapolis, and around the country to recent revolutions around the world. That might be saying a bit much.
You might be overestimating.
We're not exactly throwing over totalitarian regimes or anything here, but okay. I guess
you don't seem convinced.
I think that.
And
maybe,
then he proceeded to put the next speaker into a figure four leg lock.
I think if you're going to consider it as a kind of an organic event that has sort of happened via social media and stuff like that. Sure, definitely the stakes are not the same. Sorry.
Is this Jared? Does this have the capability of turning into a larger movement that reflects the unrest of the people?
Well, I think they're starting to crystallize.
Answer me.
Yes, I think it does. The problem they're having is, number one, there wasn't a clear message early on of what they're what they're protesting. That's starting to crystallize now. But there, it's, you're going up against the big time media empires who are their targets for, you know, part of it. And they're not portraying them in a very positive light.
Are these people just lazy slackers who need to go out and get a job and shut your mouth, hippie?
Well, I think part of the problem is that they can't get a job.
Wait!
The jobs aren't there, and that's part of the message.
Is it fair if you're used to working for $50,000 and you get laid off, and then you have to expect that you go back for half that? Is that a fair thing? Is that just the way it is?
I mean, it might be the way it is, but it's how do you... I can understand how somebody would say that that's untenable, and I can't live on that money. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're in the shit in this country.
We're a deep conversation.
Yeah,
let's get out of it.
One final story, Shane, and this is a happy one. Topeka, Kansas City Council considers decriminalization domestic violence to save money.
Say again?
The Topeka, Kansas City Council considers decriminalizing domestic violence to save money.
Oh, isn't that nice? So hit your wife and you pay a fine.
I guess. Faced with their worst budget crisis since the Great Depression, states and cities have resorted to increasingly desperate measures to cut costs. State and local governments have laid off teachers, slashed Medicaid funding, and even started unpaved roads and turning off streetlights. Wow. But perhaps the most shocking idea to save money is being debated right now in the City Council of Topeka, Kansas. The City Council could repeal an ordinance banning domestic violence because some say the cost of prosecuting those cases is just too high. Last night, in between approving city expenditures and other routine agenda items, the Topeka, Kansas City Council debated one rather controversial one, decriminalizing domestic violence. Here's what happened.
Hit me. Straighten those papers out quickly.
Last month, the Shawnee County District Attorney's Office, facing a 10% budget cost, announced that the county would no longer be prosecuting misdemeanors, including domestic violence cases, at the county level. Finding those cases suddenly dumped on the city and lacking resources of their own, the Topeka City Council is now considering repealing the part of the city code that bans domestic battery. Since the county stopped prosecuting the crimes on September 8th, it has turned back 30 domestic violence cases. 16 people have been arrested for misdemeanor domestic battery and then released from the county jail after charges weren't filed. Letting abusive patterns out of jail with partners out of jail with no consequences puts victims in incredibly dangerous positions, said Becky Dickinson of the YMCA. YWCA. Sorry.
I was going to say, I would start doing a dance.
YWCA.
It's much harder to do with the W.
The abuser will often become more violent in an attempt to regain control. Thoughts?
Number one, you said it was a happy story, which angers me because I feel like you did not tell me the full truth.
That is a classic misdirection, Shane. Misdirection.
Two, I'm angry at Adam because there's a lot of negativity in those stories, and the negativity in this town sucks.
I'm also pissed because Adam somehow, I'm sure he had a routine or some sort of comments all lined up to go along with that story, and we're completely deprived of that, and you and I are sitting here stuck wondering, what do we do with this?
What's the angle? What was Adam's angle? We need to think like Adam. Worst Jew ever. I think that's it.
Let's get him on the show here.
Worst Jew ever.
There we go.
That's all we have. That's the only clip of Adam we have.
Not sure, Shane.
I don't know how to do interviews.
There we go.
That's it. We've got two clips of
Adam's been on the show. Sorry. He's there.
I don't really have much to say about it other than it disgusts me.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty, but it is sort of like, what do you do when you don't have the money? I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they should probably make some other cuts somewhere else that aren't actually putting people
in danger,
in harm's way.
I don't know. Maybe let the marijuana use go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Or the marijuana prosecution. But what do I know?
That's the news, Shane.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jared, for that uplifting 25 minutes.
I do what I can.
Well, let's keep moving on to reviews. My request to you is to keep this snappy.
Snappy, got it.
So we don't have any formal reviews, meaning scope scores.
Right.
But we just want to do a quick overview of some of the new shows we've watched.
Kind of, first impressions on some of the new stuff.
And all these are still on the air, as far as I know, Jared.
All three of mine are.
All right. Yeah. So let's start with probably the biggest hit so far of the year. Yeah. I would say New Girl.
Ah, on my list as well.
Zoe Deschanel?
Yes, Zoe Deschanel.
She stars as a sort of a goofball school teacher who breaks up with her boyfriend, moves into a house full of guys, and hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm.
She's charming.
Yep.
She's cute.
Yep.
They portray her in such a way that her beauty is sort of overshadowed by her neuroses and goofball attitudes and actions, where she sort of feels like a believable, well-rounded character. She lives with three guys, all of them with different attitudes. One is sort of a douchebag. One is sort of a sad sack who they're sort of setting up a romance with her and him at some point in the future. Then you've got the token African-American guy who used to be a coach. Now he is a minor league basketball player or overseas basketball
different
player.
Character. Different let's character. Be clear.
Yeah, they
there was a switch out after the pilot.
It was Damon Wayans' kid who was already in a show.
Busy with Happy Endings.
Happy Endings, and his show got picked up, so he had to leave this one.
Yep. So the premise was he moved out and the other guy moved back in.
So I think it's cute. Yep. I enjoy it. It's not like super laughy laugh, but it has enough quirky humor that makes me want to see what's going to happen next in this girl's life.
Yep, I think it's a fun show. I think the guy who replaced the coach is an upgrade.
Oh, you do?
I think
after he was the second
better.
Episode?
Yep, okay. I think he was better. And I think they really need to do something with the Schmidt character because his douchebagginess is really off-putting. So they have to deal with that at some point.
Okay.
And maybe that's what they're building towards.
All right. The next show that I've been watching is a show called Up All Night. It's
also on my list. Shane.
Stars Will Arnett.
I got a feeling we might have a three-peat here.
My next one, you will not be.
Okay.
Up All Night stars Will Arnett in his most normal role to date. He's like a normal dude for the most part.
Still a little neurotic.
But not quite a douchebag or weird. You've got Christina Applegate, fresh off of her success on Married with Children.
Fresh off, she had no nothing in between.
And then you've got Maya Rudolph. This is her post Bridesmaids role, I guess. You know? She really didn't do much after Saturday Night Live, so she sort of had a rebirth.
She been doing any writing or producing anything?
I don't even know if she's been doing that. The story tells is the show is about a couple just gave birth to a kid, and Christina Applegate works for a Oprah-like boss who was played by Maya Rudolph.
Yep.
And I think the show is called Maya, isn't it? So sure, she's
It's Ava.
Ava. So
the character's name is Ava. Yep.
So and obviously hilarity ensues. This show a little bit more. It's a sort of about parenting meets the trials and tribulations of everyday life.
Yeah, and it's as it has been portrayed. It's sort of the what do you do in life when you can no longer be the carefree party person? You have to take responsibility for things.
Yes.
So,
and I think it's well written. It's well acted. Mm-hmm. I think that the baby stuff could be a little one note, and I think the Ava talk show stuff, which I find Maya very funny, I think they've got to find a little more traction on that.
It's a little too much Oprah.
Yeah.
And I agree, the baby stuff, for me, it's like, the parts I dislike the most are the dealing with baby stuff.
Of course, you hate children, but we know that.
It doesn't, I have no baseline for that, so maybe that's part of it, but.
Being a parent, I actually find it to be well done a lot of the times, and I enjoy it, so. I think it's different perspectives.
Fair enough.
I'll let you name the third show.
I like just a quick little thing on that.
Please,
I like the character B-Row. I don't know if you've seen that episode yet.
B-Row.
He was Ava's long-lost love who had resurfaced and was getting married, and she was all broken up over it.
I think we forgot to record that one.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Good episode. You need to watch that
one. We'll catch it on repeats.
All right. My third show is Terra Nova.
Terra Nova. I have two episodes recorded. Haven't watched it yet. Sorry, Jared.
Just quickly, it's the big dinosaur back in 85 million years in the past. Humans have destroyed the present world, but they found a time rift, and so now they're kind of rebuilding in the past.
Is it a different world, or is it an actual Earth in the past?
I think they've established that it actually is sort of like an alternate timeline.
Oh, okay.
I won't get into it too much, but for me, it's a fun show. It's very much a position as a family show. There's some mystery elements to it, but everything is pretty safe.
Is there an overall plot line, like a secret or like a lost type of thing, or is it just really?
There are some secrets. I've read some things where they said that the secrets are going to be brought up, but answered fairly quickly. There isn't going to be a lot of like overarching mystery.
Okay.
But there's some things like there are some characters called the Sixers who came back. Each group of people that comes back is called a pilgrimage, so they have the sixth pilgrimage, and apparently there are a bunch of bad apples on that one, and they're not living in the community, the Terra Nova community. They're off on their own, and they cause trouble a lot. And then there's these mysterious kind of like writings, almost look like mathematical equations or geometry, that have appeared on rocks, and that's one of the central mysteries that's going on.
Okay, what is this all about?
We're only like three episodes in, the 2-hour premiere and then the follow-up.
Yep.
It's fun. There's, dinosaurs and adventures. The dinosaurs don't look that great. They don't look terrible. I think they're serviceable.
Okay.
Characters are still kind of, you're still trying to find some three-dimensionality to them.
They seem like they could be broadly drawn.
Yeah,
really.
They are, but it's fun. I'm enjoying it, so I'll stick with it for the time being.
All right, Jared loves Terra Nova. My last show is...
Running out of pages, Straight and Shane. I only got two.
I'm going to straighten my pages. I'm going to talk about The X Factor.
Oh.
That's the big Simon Cowell returns with a show that is one part American Idol, one part America's Got Talent, one part The Voice.
There's some mayonnaise on there too, right?
Yes, and a little bit of Dijon mustard.
A little kick.
Listen.
Uh-oh. This is going to be good.
Here's the thing. I love Simon Cowell, yeah. But I'm tired of this. I mean, the format is the same. So it's really got to be sold by the judges. I like the American Idol format better in the sense that when they, and we haven't got to the live show. So the auditions, American Idol auditions are done in a room, no orchestra. It's just sung. In this one, you know, the auditions that you see are done in a full production. They're singing to music. They've got an audience. It doesn't feel as intimate.
Okay.
So that part I didn't like as much. I really don't like the fact that nothing on the show feels new. We've all seen it before. Whether the X Factor created those things, you know, 7 years ago when they started in the UK.
Now, an X Factor, that came after Pop Idol or whatever predated American Idol.
What happened was is that Simon left in the UK. He left Pop Idol, which was their version of American Idol. And then he went to do X Factor, which essentially is the same type show with more focus on the judges. They only had a couple seasons of Pop Idol over there. It didn't last long. You know, he's trying to do that format here. As we've gotten into it, I like it a little bit better. They've whittled down the auditions, and they got them to, like, this boot camp where, you know, they're whittling it down even further. And then what they do is they break the singers into four different distinct categories, boys, girls, over 30 groups. And then each one of the judges...
And monkeys. Yeah.
Invertebrates. And then each of the judges take them off to their own palatial estate, which my guarantee is that those are rented houses, not theirs.
Okay.
And then they go through a whittling down process again where they cut those groups in half. And so we're just about to start that.
Sounds like a bloodbath, Shane.
Yes.
Sounds like there's just carnage everywhere.
Yeah, and what they want to do is they want to show the personalities of the judges. So that could be interesting because that's a different angle.
Are the judges in competition at all?
They say that because the judges are running each of those groups. Okay. So yes, they are saying that there is...
Because right now you're saying there's a focus on the judges. It sounds like they're trying to win America's hearts.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's like they want their people that they put into the final 16 or whatever it is to be the championship. Although the losers aren't getting cut from the show. The losers aren't getting less money. There's no financial stake. It's a point of pride.
Okay.
And it seems like to me, you know, whereas before we went into this show, Paula Abdul and Simon, that was going to be the dynamic that people were most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's L.A. Reid and Simon. Mm. Because L.A. Reid is a legitimate star maker.
He's legit.
So out of anyone that has ever been on any of these shows, and I'm counting The Voice as well, which has four legitimate singers, or what is it, four? Yeah, they've got four guys.
Yeah.
L.A. Reid is big time.
We'll count Christina Aguilera as a guy, sure.
She can kind of get that mannish, timber to her voice. So we'll keep up with it for the time being, but I was hoping for a little bit more new. I still like Up All Night and New Girl better than X Factor. So there we go.
All right.
Review's done.
Yeah.
We'll keep you posted on those. We may even do a proper review of one of those shows in the future.
I was attempting to fire up the random review machine for today. But as I was compiling new episodes for next week, the Food Town Critic, the site crashed or something. And
okay.
I couldn't do it.
Well, I like that. We might want to get back to
I want to bring
that
back.
All right. So let's move on to our final segment that would be coming soon. And I will be handling this as well. Jared did the news. I get to do this segment. October 11th for music. A bunch of stuff. We've got Ben Lee, Bjork, The Electric Six, The Gay Bar Singers, Erasure, Evanescence with their self-titled album, Evanescence.
Really?
Joe Jonas finally back in the spotlight with his album, Fast Life. We've got Indie Darling, Ryan Adams, and Jared's most...
Some people are really excited for Ryan Adams.
People love Ryan Adams. Yeah. And William Shatner doing Seeking Major Tom.
That could be really interesting.
Could be terrible.
Could be terrible, but it could be terrible in a good way.
October 18th brings a handful of artists.
Yep.
Noel Gallagher with his first solo album ever, High Flying Birds.
Are you going to try that?
I like I like Noel's writing. I like Liam's singing better.
Okay.
I've always
felt that way.
Chris Isaac is back, so I know you're going to be in line or in the queue for that.
Wicked Game Part 2, right?
Beyond the Sun.
Okay.
Wicked Game Returns. And Jane's Addiction with the Great Escape Artist. They've been playing one of their new tracks. I kind of like it.
When they were on Stern, they played a couple of tracks, and I did like them, so I will definitely be checking that album.
You'll be
out.
Checking it out.
Yep.
Not only are there new albums coming out, we've also got new movies, Jared.
Oh.
Let's look at October 14th.
Films.
October 14th, of Friday.
Real Steel, Shane. I want to see it.
Real Steel getting great reviews.
I know.
I'm flabbergasted.
Go ahead.
Footloose.
It's got heart, Shane. Go ahead.
Footloose.
I thought Footloose came out this week. That's next week?
I thought it was next week.
That's fine.
I got it for October
14th. I don't
14th.
Really know. I'm not interested, so it doesn't
Entertainment
matter.
Weekly gave it an A-.
That shocks me, because some of the early reviews I heard were like, it was terrible.
I don't know. I think it's a movie that could do well.
Doesn't matter. It's not a film I'm going to see. So
The prequel to the movie The Thing comes out, which is called The Thing.
How does that work, Shane?
It's an actual prequel to the 1980 whatever thing.
The title. There's no differentiation.
I don't think that you can do the prequel. I think it's fine with The Thing.
Yeah.
And then we've got the...
It's a prequel to a film that was a remake of a 1950s film. So
yes.
There you go.
So and then we've got the movie called The Big Year, which stars Steve Martin, Owen Wilson, and Jack Black. I think they play professional bird watchers. I think that's what that one's about.
That sounds like an interesting
Could be very
film.
Interesting. October 21st, we've got the quasi-steampunk Three Musketeers movie.
I don't know about that one.
They're sort of doing Matrix steampunk with... It's like Three Musketeers meets Wild Wild West.
I like our Three Musketeers, when we had Oliver Platt, we had Kiefer Sutherland.
We got the pudgy.
We had Chris O'Donnell as D'Artagnan.
The fourth Musketeer.
Who was the other guy? I forget. Charlie Sheen, you're right. That was a movie. I'm going to revisit that one at some point.
And then we've got the spooky Paranormal Activity 3.
I haven't seen one or two. Probably should.
Probably should.
Yeah.
DVD, October 11th.
How about Blu-ray? And then look at this count too.
I'll still throw them all together.
All right. Optical disc.
We've got one movie that my daughter forced me to go to and then hated, Zookeeper. We've got Leap Year.
You're going to buy it and force her to watch it
now,
right?
No way. Horrible Bosses, Jared.
I want that one.
And Chuck Season 4.
I mean, I'm not going to buy it, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you should bring it over to our house and we'll watch it. October 18th. Oh, but hold the phone.
Oh.
There's a special release on October.
Whoa.
Stop the clock.
Stop the clock. That's what it is.
Green Lantern comes out on the 14th.
Oh, boy.
Which we will not be getting.
Oh, boy.
Bad Teacher. The animated Batman Year One, which looks kind of cool. We've got the Kevin Smith film Red State, which has sort of been bouncing around a little bit.
Huh.
We've got Clone Wars Season 3. And we've also got a release of Robotech, the complete series, as being re-released.
Can I just say that I'm not really in love with the Clone Wars current season?
Kind of
boring.
I like the Ackbar stuff. I didn't like the Jar Jar stuff.
Too much Jar Jar.
And the
too much Jar Jar.
And the last droids one seemed a little strange to me.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going to get a three episode arc of the droids. Oh boy.
Well. Maybe they'll do it. They'll pull it off. Video games, Jared.
Yep.
The week of October 9th, we've got three good releases. We've got Forza 4, which is a terrific driving game.
Okay.
Race 'em up game.
Mm.
Ace Combat, Assault Horizon, a airplane flying game. And then we've got a sort of a dark horse game that got a lot of good press at E3, a lot of good video game press. It's a Kinect game called Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster.
What?
Supposed to be a great game for family and adults alike.
What?
Week of October 16th, there's two games being released, Jared.
I am so excited.
One that
this
I
week.
Want, one that you want.
Yep.
Batman Arkham City, which Batman Arkham Asylum game was fan-freaking-tastic.
Okay.
And then Rocksmith.
I'm so excited.
Which, you know what? I think I would be excited about Rocksmith,
you
except
own a guitar.
I don't own a guitar. Yeah. So it's really hard for me to play.
I own a couple,
game.
So. I'm so excited. It's the first game I've pre-ordered in ages. So.
I feel like you are turning your back on Rock Band.
What?
You're turning your back on it.
But I can play real guitar in Rocksmith, Shane. Real guitar. And I can actually improve my skills.
Well, as long as you keep playing Rock Band at your parties.
Well, yeah. Rocksmith is not a group experience. It's,
okay.
It's a one-on-one.
I think
you can do it. You can have two guitars, but that's really it.
Okay. No, calm down. Calm down, sir. Hopefully it works well. I hope the technology is not underwhelming. Because I think that you need to have good technology to make this work out.
All the pre-release stuff has been pretty positive.
Okay,
so.
Okay, we get it. We get it. You're,
wow.
You're on the
cannot let me have one thing.
You are on the Rocksmith payroll. I get it. Let's close up coming soon. This has been a long show.
That's it. There's no DVDs coming out. We already went through that. We did games. What else is there?
Pay attention.
What else? Wax cylinders? What are they? What's coming out on
the
those?
Newest wax cylinder. We do new soda flavors for the week.
Ah, awesome.
There's going to be a delicious Fanta
Ginger
Ale.
No, do you want to?
Fanta ginger ale. Hitting stars.
Closing it up.
Under the scope.
Here we go. Last segment of the show. I bet you it's packed full of goodness. My voice is a little scratchy and itchy, Jared. We talk a lot. And
we do.
It's difficult.
There's a lot more talking when it's just the two of us parceled out. I mean, our show is still going to clock in, you know, at the usual length.
Damn it. I really thought we were going to shorten this bitch up.
We had a lot to talk about, apparently. I really only have one comment on this one. This comes from Anne on the last episode.
Yep.
No one mentioned Zooey Deschanel's new girl. Guess it falls in the middle of Must See versus First Canceled. We pretty much covered that, I think, now.
Yeah.
It was on our... Shane and I were definitely going to watch it, and we're enjoying it, and it's been picked up for a
full
season. So there
season
you go.
Pickup, folks.
Curious to know how many of the Scope team's significant others will be watching America's Next Top Model All-Star season. That was probably just me. I know...
We don't watch that one.
Yeah, I do. It's been all right. I'm not... I don't know. All-star seasons are weird because it's like, you know, you could get a bunch of people you hate or a bunch of people you don't know.
Yep.
So I almost prefer to have a regular season where it's all new people. But, you know, I like some of the people who are back I like, so whatever.
Good. Well, I hope you enjoy it, sir.
I also loved Adam's aha moments of the Bengal/Bengal clarity. I hope I'm listening when he realizes it's supposedly, not supposably.
He's got strep throat. What the hell does he know?
Yeah, he can't fight ball. Adam made that discovery, and then recently somebody else did the same thing.
It's like some sort of... It's in the zeitgeist.
I can't remember what it, but somebody spelled it Bengal, like it was a tiger.
Hmm.
No, it's a Bengal, like a little thing you have on your wrist.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like you run around with, like, the flowing colored papers and shit.
If you have your own aha moment that you want to talk about, you can write us... comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line. It's folks, I know you're concerned that the voicemail box is full and that's why you're not calling.
I know.
But there's plenty of space. It's Google Voice. They have servers everywhere. You don't have to worry. Call at 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Put it in your phone so you can dial it up anytime you have something important to say to the show.
Other people do that for other podcasts. Do it for us.
Yeah.
Just call us up out of the blue.
And Luke, if you feel like you want to call back again, I'm fine with that.
You've got the okay. You've got the go-ahead.
Yeah, you can also like us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/thescope. Or you follow us on Twitter.
Go
Twitter.com.
Visit our page. We're getting less people actively looking at it. So go visit our page.
We're not putting regular content up either. We need to be doing that more.
Yeah, I blame you.
So twitter.com/thescopeshow.
I blame you.
On Twitter. What else? Oh, how you can help the show financially.
Yes.
Donations, direct donations, you can do that. There is a button on the website. $5 donation will get you a sponsorship of an episode, and we'll mention your name right at the top. There's also a monthly subscription, $2 a month. If you feel like supporting us on a regular basis and don't feel like having to do that manually, you can just subscribe and you can cancel anytime. It's all done through PayPal.
It's as easy as clicking on a button.
$2 a month, and it helps out. Our biggest resource for funds and for Block Rock and Beats is our Amazon.
Because we love the Chemical Brothers.
It's our Amazon affiliate link. You can just click on that in the sidebar of our website if you're going to make a purchase through Amazon. We get a small percentage of that back. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And it helps us do stuff. We've got a little bit of money in the bank now. We might do some promotions or something in the future here. Maybe we'll have some prizes to give away. I don't know what, but...
Jared and I are building an experimental kit airplane. The Scopenauts.
Sounds about right.
And we need to get more money to fill it with fiberglass and custom graphics.
And carbon fiber. That costs a lot.
A lot of carbon fiber.
We
launched it with a giant rubber band slingshot.
That's the show, Shane.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Long show.
I guess I got a couple plugs I can mention if you want to do plugs.
You plug ahead.
My band, Possible Oscar, we have two shows coming up in November. If you're gonna
two?
Be, yeah. Two shows, Shane.
Jesus.
If you're going to be in the Chicago area and attending WindyCon weekend of November 11th through 13th.
I did not know that.
Nathan and I will be representing Possible Oscar doing an acoustic set. Don't know yet which day we're performing our set, but I also believe there is a concert, or a Round Robin concert on Sunday.
Round Robin.
Featuring all of the musical acts that wish to participate, so we'll probably be showing up there doing a few songs.
Pantsless, you forgot to announce that. Pantsless.
Right. Well, not strictly pantsless, but they will be transparent pants.
Oh, I like that.
There you go.
Like a cellophane.
The next gig is a local Minneapolis show. I really hope you guys decide to come out. It is Friday, November 18th. A little place called Club Underground. It's in Northeast Minneapolis below the Spring Street Tavern. Okay.
So I'm torn on this one, Jared.
It's 9 p.m. music starts. Yes.
Plus and minus. Plus column.
Yes.
Friday night.
Friday. Okay.
Minus column.
Yes.
I don't like you nor your music.
Hmm.
What do I do? Plus
well,
column, I don't often have things planned on Friday nights.
Here's another for the plus column. It is a show also featuring friend of the show.
Yes.
Adam of Thos Quanta. His band Thos Quanta will be performing.
That's good. That's
well.
A plus. That's a plus.
There'll be giveaways from JL Audio or something.
That's a plus.
JL Labs. I don't know. There's a sponsorship for giveaways.
So my supreme hatred are
DJ
you or all
sets
these other
between
pluses.
Acts.
DJ
sets. The party doesn't stop.
That's
there
a negative.
No,
that's a minus
there
for
are no
me.
Lulls, Shane.
Are
once a band stops, there's a DJ set. For another band, then more DJ.
Can you promise block rock and beats from the DJ?
I'm fairly confident I can promise block rock.
Okay,
and
that's
beats.
A plus then.
$5 cover, 21
minus.
Plus. $5.
Richfield in name only.
So if you are in the Minneapolis area, please come out and show that live nerdy music is something you're willing to support.
Transparent pants. Yay or nay?
Depends on how badly we soil them at WinnieCon.
That's disgusting. Soiled transparent pants might be the most disgusting thing since Human Centipede 2.
Wow.
Which we did not mention at all.
I was asked when I tweeted last night that I was watching a movie as research. Dan Taylor 26, our UK fan, said, is it Human Centipede 2?
Oh my god, Dan.
And I said, no, in actuality, we haven't watched the film. We've just been more amused by the concept of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, the fact that it exists and that there are, for some reason, there was a string of related stories when that came out. So we have not watched it. I don't think we'll ever watch it.
I will never watch that. Yeah.
You heard it here first. The Scope will never watch Human Centipede or any of its sequels.
I don't need to watch it. I lived it.
Wow.
I lived it.
That's it,
I think. That's our plug.
Yeah.
Jared, great job.
Yeah, thanks.
We think we did a good job. We're back on track. I have no idea what the next show is going to be about, so I'm leaving that up to you.
Wow. Okay. I better do some work.
Hopefully, Adam will be over his faux sickness. And I did that air quotes. And we'll bring him back for the full group. So let's wrap this up. Start playing some music, Jared. 115 is done. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another show soon. Your Scope Show. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying Auf Wiedersehen. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
Worst Jew ever.